Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day, at an unexpected hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. The servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. Yesterday in the Gospel reading, Jesus told us the two essential moments of a Christian life. He called us to stay awake and be vigilant with our lamps lit, awaiting the Master's return. And then he said, "Keep your loins girded," just like the Jews before the Passover, so that they were ready as soon as the Master arrived to go out. Today's Gospel, Jesus emphasized the same two points. And as Christians, we need to ponder whether we're living these two points. He describes a good and faithful servant. And we want to be among those loyal and prudent disciples. First moment. "You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect the Son of Man will come." Son of Man is in fact always coming. For us to be a good disciple, we recognize that he's always present. When Mary of Bethany met Jesus when he was coming to raise her brother Lazarus from the dead, when he asked her that great question, "Do you believe this, that I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, even though he dies, will live?" Martha said, "I do believe, Lord, that you are the one coming into the world." The Lord is always coming. The archangel is always saying to us, whether we can hear it or not, "Dominus tecum," the Lord is with you. He's here to accompany us. He's here to strengthen us. He's here to forgive us. He's here just to be with us because he loves us. Are we alert? Are we aware? Are we awake? The ancient desert fathers had a principle that they called anamnesis. And amnesia, unforgetting. That we've got to remember that God is present. And once we do, almost everything else flows. And that's the first thing that the devil wants to work in us. He wants us to forget that God is always coming. But then there's a second moment. We have to have our loins girded. When he's coming, Jesus isn't just coming to hang. He's not just coming to waste time with us. It's coming to strengthen us precisely so that we can go out and finish the job he started, the job he gave his life for, and the job he trusts us so much that he gives us the task to complete. And in the Gospel today, that's shown in the image of giving others their food at the proper time. God comes to feed us, to nourish us, to enrich us, so that precisely we can enrich others. And if we know that He's with us, it becomes so much easier to recognize that all His blessings are like a depository that He's placed into our hands that we're supposed to distribute. Jesus is constantly looking at the crowds who are like sheep without a shepherd. And we turn to Him and say, "How can these people be fed?" And Jesus turns to us and He says, "You give them something to eat, because He's already filled us with Himself so that we can breastfeed the world." At the very end of the gospel, there's something that should surprise us. Jesus is making a contrast. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much. And we might be tempted to think Jesus would have said afterward, "Little will be required of the person entrusted with little." And then we'd all be able to have the excuse that if only I was blessed like that person, much would be demanded of me. But because I have been given so little, I don't really have to do much. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, "Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." We've all been unbelievably enriched by God's blessing. None of us has missed the line of God's celestial distribution. But are we using that as a faithful and prudent steward, distributing it to an famished world? The first reading today, St. Paul, with very graphic language, makes the same point. He's essentially talking about two types of slavery: slavery to the devil, or a slavery to God. And slavery to God doesn't mean that we give up our freedom. Slavery to God is really consecration to God, which we totally entrust ourselves over to Him and lovingly obey Him. And out of those two types of slavery come two types of works. He says, "Do not present the parts of your body to sin as weapons for wickedness, but present yourselves to God as raised from the dead to life, and the parts of your body to God as weapons for righteousness." Weapons for justice, weapons for holiness, weapons for God. The Lord is constantly coming, and if we're alert to Him as a faithful and prudent steward, we recognize that He's coming to strengthen us so that we can be His weapon against the prince of darkness in this world, who's trying to get us to forget that the Lord's coming, and to forget that we're called, having been blessed with much or even more, to enrich that world. Weapon for righteousness. Let me just ask you, if you were the devil's agent and wanted to be a weapon of the devil today, how could you do it? Lots of little ways. You could greet every woman today and say, "You're ugly," or "You're fat." You could just use expletives at guys on the street. You could push over a senior citizen. You could stiff a cab driver. Lots of little ways we could make people's lives miserable today. Let's flip it around. How could we really be a weapon of God today? By taking advantage of all of those same opportunities in building people up. A gratuitous compliment. Letting somebody else in need do something before we, even though we deserved it prior. I've always loved what happens at Christmas time, when people who might be a little greedy start going around and don't just give a dollar to the poor. Start really sacrificing, giving $100 bills. And what happens? Their whole life comes alive as they see how much happiness they can spread. That's what it means to be a weapon of God. And God has called us to be those weapons. weapons to make his kingdom come. Present your bodies to God as raised from the dead to life and as weapons of righteousness. Every time we come to Mass, that's what we do. As the eternal Son of God says, this is my body, this is my blood given for you. St. Paul later in this letter to the Romans will say, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, your spiritual worship. That's what we do here as the Lord comes to meet us and we come to meet him. But then at the very end of Mass, with our loins girded, he sends us out. He says, go in peace, glorifying the Lord with your life. This is precisely what we do with our thoughts, with our words, and with our actions as weapons to build up God's kingdom. Today, a spiritual nuclear bomb is going to go off here at this altar, to use the image of Pope Benedict when he spoke to the young people of the world in Cologne. Strengthening us so that we can go blow up the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.